There are a lot of things in the Word of God that are often overlooked as people try to use the Word of God for their own purposes or their own motives. I've seen people try to use the Bible to beat up on their wives. You know, like, you know, it says right here, I'm the head of the house, right there, read it. You know, but the Bible was never meant to be used as a club to beat your wife with. In fact, it instructs husbands to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So if anything, you need to be willing to die for your wife, be crucified for your wife, lay down your life for your wife. You don't have any business beating her over the head. Amen. Because Christ certainly loved the church, but not in a way to beat us in the head. Jesus died for us, didn't he? We are the bride of Christ. But it's been used, you know, unfortunately, by many people in a wrong way, just simply to try to back up some man's feeling like, I got the Word of God behind me, when the man himself wasn't even living for God. It was just something, you know, you pull it out of the Bible, there's a verse there, it backs me up in what I believe. Well, that's not the way the Word of God is to be used. We could all, if we wanted to, take a verse of Scripture or a couple of verses of Scripture and draw our own conclusions and decide this is what it means or that's what it means. And it's dangerous to do that until you really spend some time considering all the Word of God and how it fitly is framed together by God himself. The Word of God is like this, and not like this. Can you tell the difference even if you don't know music? Is this better than this? Now, some of you may think this is better than this. But when I start the choir, I don't want you in it if you think this is better than this. Hey, I didn't see my buddy over there. I'm glad to see you tonight. Yes, sir. God bless you tonight. You look good, too. Amen. Let me shake your hand there. Oh, man, love
sure
you.
Sure not as good as you are.
No, I'm good, good looking, ain't I?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Amen. He's my friend. We've been friends about 20 years. Probably so. Probably more than that. But anyhow, you know, this was what you call discord. There's a scripture in the Bible that talks about those that sow discord among the brethren. I don't remember what that scripture. If anybody could find it, I'd like to read that little scripture. There's one that talks about some things that God hates, and one of those things is an abomination. Amen. Proverbs, I don't even know where it is, but I just feel it on my heart. Proverbs. There's a lot of verses in Proverbs. I don't think I can find it. Brother Joe probably has it memorized. Proverbs 6:16. All right, let's see if that's it. Proverbs 6:16. I don't know whose Bible I'm using, but I started using it, and I like it. And it seems to read just like mine. Proverbs what? 6:16. Okay. I wasn't planning on starting with this, but it's a good one to start with. And I'll try not to bore you. I don't mean to go a long time. I just want to drop a few little thoughts here. I started off with one thing better than another. Harmony is better than discord. That's what I was trying to say. And the Word of God has harmony in it. And if we interpret it for ourselves and try to live by our interpretation, we may find ourselves off key. So all we need is to keep trying to get, you know, try to get in harmony with God. Because God's way is established. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Perfectly in tune. It never gets out of tune. It never gets, you know, because of a long period of time of just sitting, it never loses its pitch. It never goes flat. It's always the same. Always perfect, always settled. And whatever God has told us, or prescribed for us, or taught us, or left us to read and learn through His Word, it's exactly the same as it's always been for everybody. And it's not going to change, no matter how I look at it or how I think it should read, because after I'm dead, it's going to still be what it was, forever settled. And so it would behoove every one of us to get in harmony with all the Word of God and to learn more about the Word of God as we go forward, because there are going to be a lot of people coming among you as time goes forward who have this interpretation, that interpretation. They've been raised this way, been raised that way. They've been taught this way, that way. And you can hear thousands of interpretations. Just turn on your radio or your television, and people can take the same scriptures and mix them together with certain ones. They'll come up with all kinds of plans of salvation and all kinds of various ways that you should learn about God. That's why it's very dangerous for the way some of these folks are going to say, I don't have to study the Bible. My preacher or my priest knows what it means. You better study it for yourself. Amen? Yes. Where did you say that scripture was? It's Proverbs in the Old Testament. 2 Proverbs? All right. All right. 6? Yeah, 6:16. Amen. So these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, even seven. See how he threw that yea, even seven. This is the Word of God. God is saying something here. He hates six things. Then he draws our attention to one thing he really hates. God didn't make a mistake here. He didn't forget. God didn't forget about something he meant to say here. There's a reason why that yea, seven is written. God's not, you know, inspiring somebody to write the Word of God and say, oops, I meant to write this. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven. In other words, I'm going to show you six things the Lord hates, but that seventh one I want you to really concentrate on. A proud look. Everybody say a proud look. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. And here's the one. And he that soweth discord among brethren. Hallelujah. Amen. So, there's some other scriptures that talks about abominations. And we're not going to get into all of them. You know, the whole Word of God, if we'd teach it all tonight, it'd take us a while. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, thank you, Jesus. Verse 19. And we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. In other words, that you pay close attention. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So this is telling us that God Himself puts in His Word for us to be able to read that He wants us to learn. Because it was not, even though the pens of people wrote these words. It was the Holy Ghost, which is God's Spirit moving upon these holy people. Holy people meaning they were serving God. They were living for God. Even in times when it was very unpopular, and they could be sent into dungeons and be placed in jails and live a very uncomfortable life. Holy men of old were moved on by God Himself to give us the Word of God. And so this is not something to be taken lightly. And bear in mind now, when I'm teaching, I have in mind dozens of conversations I've had. And sometimes I'm very careful to be careful how, you know, I'm careful how I talk, because I don't want to offend anybody. But at the same time, I don't want to disobey God and hold back what God gives me to say, because I would be in trouble with God. So I have to walk a tightrope. A tightrope of wanting to please everybody, wanting everybody to love me, wanting everybody to be happy. And I want all these kids to enjoy church, and I want them to feel free to clap their hands and dance before the Lord. And they may not understand it when I say, stop it. But they'll come to a time, because they know I love them. I'm not telling them to stop praising God, you know. And the time will come when the parents and I and others of you will help them to sort this all out. Sometimes we just bounce around and run and jump and everything else in kids' praise club. We also, you know, might tell a child, don't do this. Don't do what you're doing. And they don't see the difference in some of you adults acting like you act, and they're doing what they're doing. But they don't understand yet that some of you are worshiping God while they are playing and having fun. See, and so that's a lesson that will be learned over a period of time. So the fine tightrope that I'm having to walk as pastor for the children is, I've got to tell you to stop what you're doing, but there's going to be a time when you're going to do exactly what you're doing, and it's going to be acceptable. But it's hard to get that point across when you're 2 years old, 3 years old, 5 years old. And so it's good, you know, as long as parents go along with me and they don't throw stones at me when I train children to see my finger as a gun and don't want that thing to go off, you know. I don't hate your kids, but a pastor can be one of the best things that can happen for a family. Where they're around their parents all day long, and they sass mom and dad, say, no, no, I'm not going to do what you say. They get to church, and the pastor says, stop it now. Have you noticed they'll obey the pastor, and they won't listen to you sometimes? Praise God. They need to listen to you. We had a little girl just, I guess, was it today? Yeah, today. Little old girl with her daddy at the back door. She had a good time Saturday here, and she and her daddy didn't want to leave. Well, they stayed an hour or two after it was all over, and she wanted to play the keyboard. She wanted to play the drums. She took a glass of water. She asked for some water, and she just picked it up and poured it in the floor. And she wanted to do this, wanted to do that, and, you know, and daddy was just saying, isn't she cute? So I finally said, well, you know, it's time for us to lock the door. I didn't want to be rude. I wanted the child to enjoy being here. I said, we're going to do this again next Saturday. She didn't want to wait. And she wouldn't let her daddy take her home. They stayed outside at the door for about 2 hours after I locked the door. And I'm not complaining, but I'm just telling you, it's difficult sometimes to let somebody know, ooh, we want you to come down here and eat with us on Saturday, have a good time, enjoy it, and then we've got to lock the door, it's time for you to go. You know. And you can't pour water in the floor and then ask for a second cup so you can do it again. And you're sure not going to be allowed to pour them on the keyboard and pour soda pop on the drums. And we're not going to let you kick the cameras over. I'm sorry, but you're not going to do that. But they showed up again today. A little girl leading daddy. Little bitty thing. I'm going in there. That's what she was saying. And he said, isn't she cute? Not with words, but that's what he was saying. She's so cute. We let her do anything she wants to do. Parents, let me tell you something, and I'm not going to get too far into this, what I'm saying, because I'm trying to make a point here about fine lines, harmony, and discord. And it's difficult sometimes to be able to get a point across because I'm talking to a congregation and I almost know every one of you, and we've all talked about things that might come up in what I'm going to say. And not only you, but people on the telephone and on the internet. And so no matter what I want to say or feel to say, sometimes I feel like somebody's going to say, "You aim that straight at me." And I don't have to just imagine that because they tell me after church and they call me on the phone. But you know, and that's what I think sometimes, but I don't want to say that. Yeah, you know, some of you are more cruel to each other than I am to you. You get plainer, but I'm trying to be nice and not compromise. At the same time, watch for your soul, as God has instructed me to do as pastor. I'm not responsible in the way that you're responsible for your own soul, but I am accountable to God to do what He called me to do and to preach the Word without fear and without favor. And in being accountable to God, I have become a watchman on the wall. There are many watchmen on the wall. I'm one of them in this particular place, this particular time. And so when I warn you about something, it's not just me, but I'm a holy man of God being moved on by the same Holy Ghost that is bringing you the Holy Word of God that was moved on by the Holy Ghost in the Word of God that you can read and I can read, and we can get on our knees and we can pray, and God can show us. This is God speaking to your heart, not just Rutledge. Yeah. That's all right.
You know I'm a sinner.
I know.
I do that every day.
Go ahead.
No, I love God, but I'm a sinner.
And you want to be saved, don't you?
Yeah, but not today.
All right.
Not today.
But thank you for coming.
I'm going for an operation June 11th, all right?
We're going to pray for him. We'll pray that we'll be praying for you. Lord, help him through this operation. Make him be okay and keep him coming back in Jesus' name.
Well, you know I love you.
I love you too. We're going to go to heaven together.
Yeah, I know that.
Amen. Thanks.
That's a problem.
I know it.
You tell me.
I'll talk to Peter when we get to the gate.
Don't put no wine bottles over there.
That's right. Ain't going to be none in heaven. Ain't going to be any in hell either. All right. That's right. God bless you. Thanks for coming. That's great, man. You come anytime. That little girl was saying, "I'm going in there." And brother back there was saying, you know, he didn't know what to say, and he was opening the door. We were on our way out to go somewhere. You know, sometimes, you know, we'll let people in, let them play around. But that spirit, it's not just in that little girl. It's in grown-ups, too. And it gets in people sometimes who are actually determined to push what they think is what you should believe. Now, that could be me, it could be you, it could be her, it could be him. I'm talking to everybody. So we need to be careful that we don't follow a spirit that is not truthful, that are something that is telling a part truth and not in harmony with all the Word of God, sowing discord among the brethren, among the church people who love God. So, if you have an idea and you think this is going to fly, you're welcome to express it. But please don't fall into the mistake of believing that that's going to stop the truth from being proclaimed over this pulpit. Without fear and without favor. So every private interpretation, every part truth, every incompleteness presentation of the Word of God, based upon anybody's private interpretation, it may not be addressed now, but it will be addressed as God wants to address it. And that might take weeks, it might take 24 hours, it might happen tonight, it might happen in 10 years. But God sent me to tell you the truth. And I'm not going to stop for any spirit that's going to get in there no matter what you say. But all I had to tell that little old spirit today was, No. I didn't even have to say in the name of Jesus. But I said it in the name of Jesus. You come back Saturday. And then her daddy had the courage to say, honey, we got to wait till Saturday. You know, kids today rule the house. Who's the head of your house? Daddy, mama? No, it's that three-year-old brat. Shouldn't be that way, parents. Hey, if you got a small child, you need to start telling that kid, you're not the one that works the job here. You're not the one that puts the food on the table. You're not the one that makes the decisions. You're not the one that pays the bills. And you're not the one that makes all these decisions, and you're going to stop right now, and you're going to respect your dad and mom, or you're going to have war. Now, some people will tell you, that's cruel. You can't talk to kids like that today. You'll get in trouble. You might, but you're going to get in more trouble if you just let them go. What would you rather do, take a chance on getting in trouble? Maybe somebody overhears you talking strong to your child. Or let your child rise up and start shooting at you when they get a little older. Because they hate your guts and they never had to listen to you anyhow. So you know what actually happens to kids sometimes? They turn against their parents because their parents didn't know how to tell them what to do. And you know what happens to churches sometimes? They turn against their pastors because the pastor was spineless and didn't have the nerve to stand up and tell you what the truth is, no matter who goes. And no matter who it hurts. And no matter how it makes anybody squirm, I guarantee you it's a lot better to hear it in love, which is what you're going to get in this place, and in patience, and in long-suffering, and holding back as long as God allows us to in any area of study that's in the Word of God. Because we certainly don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But when God gives you the truth and when that hurts, that's called being pricked in the heart. And that's what should bring the response, men and brethren, what shall we do? Rather than, no, well, let me tell you how I see it. Let me tell you the way I interpret it. Let me tell you what I've got figured out. Be careful with these interpretations. Even your own minds can deceive you. The first thing we all need to do is make sure that we are led of the Spirit of God. The Scripture tells us that they that are led of the Spirit of God are the sons of God. You can take that Scripture without even interpreting it or bending it in any way, and it says this also, those same words, on the flip side of that record is the Word of God also. When it says, they that are led of the Spirit of God are the sons of God, that same verse is telling you, if you're not led of the Spirit, you're not a child of God. That's the way God talks. He gives us a positive, and if we want to get it right, we go His way. If we want to not get it right, then we don't do what He says. So if you want to be a child of God, receive the Holy Ghost, and then follow the leading of the Spirit. Follow the leading of the Spirit. I've been hearing doctrines all my life of men who preach to me and teach me false things that are not according to the Word of God. Then when I try to tell them the truth, they say, don't teach me. Well, how come somebody can teach me and I can't teach them? Or at least have a conversation. Equal time. Yes, sir. I like that. I think the pastor should be able to get equal time. There's so many people in so many areas of life will tell you what they think, what they know, what they feel. And when you start talking, oh, I'm sorry, I got an appointment, I got to go. God hates some things. And one of those things that seems to be kind of an emphasis that He really hates is discord. Sowing discord. Discord is not necessarily going around and saying, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? What do you think about this? Did you hear about this and did you hear about that? That might be some discovery. I don't think that's what God's talking about here. He lists six things that he hates, and yea, seven. And this discord, you know, based on the continuity of the text that we read in Proverbs, is telling us that this is something deeper than just somebody not liking because somebody talked about them. Thank you, Jesus. This is taking the Word of God that's in harmony and trying to make it not harmonize amongst the people of God. That's why we have thousands of churches today preaching false doctrines, all kinds of religions. If everybody preached the truth, we would all be saying the same thing. Thank you, Jesus. We would all be teaching the same thing. Have you ever noticed that from Genesis to Revelation, over hundreds and hundreds of years, actually thousands of years' time, the writings of these men of God, these people of God in the Word of God that has been delivered unto us, is in harmony from beginning to end. There might be some things you may not understand, because as you read it, it may not, you know, do for you what it may do for somebody else. Some of us can read something and we just get joy all over us. You know, we get those chills running up and down our spine. Where another can read the same verse and say, I didn't get anything out of that. But what's happened is we're not just hearing one verse or two verses. We're hearing something after a lifetime of study and prayer and being dedicated to God and being humble before God and trying to follow the leading of the Spirit of God. We're hearing something that's harmonizing, and it actually is like a great symphony, because all the Word together is supporting all the Word together. And all these other little things run into dead ends. Dead ends. I'm not naming any particular things right now, because if I name one, I've got about 10,000 others I could name. But use your imagination. What is it possible that you might see in the Word of God that nobody else seems to see? So you're right and everybody else is wrong, right? Or is it possible? Is it just possible that this teaching of this church, which is emphatically always going to be and always has been, that in order for you to know God and be saved, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and let God fill you with the Holy Ghost? And when you look at the infilling of the Holy Ghost in the Word of God, that came with God's operation of God moving through the tongues of those people receiving it. When they all received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. That's what you do in order to get started living for God. Hallelujah. And you're not going to be saved until you endure till the end. Yeah, that's right. Let's praise the Lord. Anything else that's taught on this floor or on your telephone or in your house is discord. God hates it. You can talk about me, how ugly I am, how my feet stink. But God sent me here to teach the truth, and I'm not going to back down. We've had 30 or 40 people come through here, tell us what all we're doing wrong through the years. They're not here anymore. They could be if they wanted to be, but we didn't back down for them. We're not going to back down for nobody. This is the Word of God. This is the emphatic Word of God. This is how the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your life. It's through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are planted with Him. We are buried with Him. There's a process going on here. There's a dying out to sin. There's getting sin removed out of your life. That requires some repentance. And if we believe on Him, as the Scripture has said, then we're going to have to do what the Scripture says for us to do. Hallelujah. And ain't no second guessing. It's established word. It is established word. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? I didn't pick this up from some church organization. I didn't get this idea from somebody teaching it to me. I got it right out of the Bible, right on my knees. And I found out that there were people in the jungles of Africa that believed the same thing when the missionaries discovered them, because they got it from the same source, right out of the Bible, on their knees, talking to the same God we talk to. Nobody came there indoctrinating them on some Pentecostal doctrine. This is the truth of God. And it's consistent all the way through the Word of God. If you want to really, really be saved, make sure you obey Jesus. Now, there is a such thing, without sowing discord, of planting seed, of taking the experience that you have, what God has done for you, giving your testimony, making a joyful noise to the Lord, but keep your heart open to God, because there might be some more. If you think you're happy now, where do you get the rest of this in you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And definitely don't try to take somebody that's got this, you know, it's like saying to a person that's got a right arm that's strong, and you know, just going up to say, you don't need that right arm. Hey, wait a minute, I've got this right arm. To say to somebody, you know, you don't have to do that, you don't have to do that, you shouldn't do that. I have people, you know, can I talk about ladies' hair? I want to talk about anything I want to right now. This is a rare thing for me to do in this church. I don't hardly ever talk about clothes or hair. Do I? You know who talks about hair? New people that come among us. And they start trying to teach each other what you should or shouldn't do with your hair. Look, we hadn't told you what to do with yours. Why are you trying to tell us what to do with ours? I'm not going to tell you how to comb your hair. Let it grow out and let it go straight up and put grease on it, wrap it around your neck. Do anything you want to do with it. Get him. What I want to say about hair is not a doctrine. I don't want to say anything doctrinal. I just want to say this. Stay out of each other's hair. If this lady doesn't want to cut her hair, what business is it of anybody else? Is there anything wrong with somebody feeling like, I have made a commitment to God and therefore I do not cut my hair? I saw something in the Bible and I'm trying to do all I can to please God, so therefore I don't cut my hair. If she's not going around saying, and you need to do like I do, then how can somebody brand new come into this church and try to judge these people who have been walking with God for 20 years and you just got out of vacation land? The ditch. Not saying your experience with God is not real, but there comes a time when people need to be taught and have a teachable spirit. And just because you hear your friends and neighbors out there say, oh, that's that church where the women wear those long dresses and they don't cut their hair. Well, look, you can find Mormons that do the same thing. People have 20 wives, you know. That's not... Look, we don't try to convert people to this church by going around telling women you can't cut your hair. In fact, almost all the women we invite here do cut their hair. and we don't criticize them, and we don't make fun of them, and then we don't judge them. We say, let God do whatever He wants to do in your heart, and whatever you do, do it as unto God. Whether it be short or long, it's your hair, it's your life, it's your heart, it's your God, and I'm not your judge. All this other stuff is discord. It's not coming from this pulpit. It's discord. And God hates it. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, that's the church where they make you wear dresses. How many have been going to this church for over 15 years? Have we ever made anybody wear a dress? That's not true. That is a lie. We've had people testifying in this pulpit many times who didn't wear dresses. And most of them were men. But we don't have those rules. This is not a legalistic church. Legalistic meaning that we have all these laws and all these rules. Tell you, you got to line up to this, you got to line up to that. No, this is a free, spirit-loving God, thanking God for the mercy and the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for our sins, and an open invitation for whosoever will, you may come and drink of the waters of life freely. And if God has blessed your life, whether it is only at the point of believing and you're not what you used to be because you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted Him as your personal Savior, we're going to dance with you in that. We're going to shout with you in that. We're going to praise God with you in that. But listen, you're just getting started. I crossed that bridge years ago. I believed on Christ. I accepted Christ as my personal Savior when I was 8 years old. But He instructed me in the Word to live a holy life and to become acceptable unto Him, which is my reasonable service. God didn't give us the big work. I don't have to be crucified. I don't have to have nails in my hands. I don't have to have my blood shed in order for you to be saved or for me to be saved. My reasonable service is hear that message of repentance and repent. Hear that message saying be baptized and get baptized. My instruction is get in that water and let God fill me with His Spirit. And whether I receive the Spirit before or after the water, make sure it's all included because the Spirit and the water is necessary. Thank you, Jesus. That's my reasonable service. It's not my works. I didn't have to work this plan out. Jesus did it. Jesus made it so simple I could just get myself up out of my little easy chair and walk over there and just get in that water and have somebody say a few words over me and say, in the name of Jesus, put me under. And that is symbolic, and that is something that pertains to being buried with Him. He didn't require for us to go out and dig a big hole in the cemetery. He didn't require for us to fly to Jerusalem and go to the same tomb where he was placed. There are people today that are walking on nails and crawling on glass, saying they're trying to do something to please the Lord. He didn't require them to do that. He hasn't required anybody to do push-ups in order to know Him. Nobody has to run 10 miles in order to get to know Jesus. He gave you His grace and mercy, the blood of Christ, and instruction, something reasonable for you to do, while He has done all the work to make it possible. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we will remain a place where anybody can come at any level of understanding and enjoy being here, whether it be months or years, without being attacked. But if the Word of God pierces you, that's not me, that's God. And the response to that is, what shall I do? And your answer is, get in the water. Amen. Be baptized in Jesus' name. And don't claim to have the Holy Ghost until you have the Holy Ghost. And then be led of that Holy Ghost so you can become a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's wave our hands to Jesus and praise Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Now, I talk to people all over the world just like this. When I travel, you know, when I go out in places, I don't just visit Pentecostal churches, because I'm interested in all churches. I'm interested in all people who want to worship God. And I don't cause a ruckus when I go among them if I visit their church. I respect their order. I listen to what they have to say. I know when they're wrong sometimes. Sometimes I get some revelation from people who are not in the full truth. I learn things from them. I don't have to be an enemy from somebody who doesn't see what I see when I travel around. And when I walk into the premises where they have labored, and they've been doing something for years, working together, and they may not have all the understanding that I think I've got, but when I go among them, I respect them. I listen to what they've got to say, and I don't go among their people telling their people, you need to repent of your sins and be baptized in Jesus' name, or you're going to split hell wide open. I don't even say that to any of you. But I certainly don't go in some other church somewhere and tell people what they need to do to be saved, knowing that their pastor is teaching them something different. Because that would be sowing discord. Even if they're in error, that would be sowing discord. But if I'm invited to speak, like the preacher in Russia invited me, and he had 30,000 followers, and most of them had 10 years before that been under the oppression of the communist regime, and they were having to worship God in silence and in fear of their lives, and many times their services were interrupted by people, their loved ones, their close friends being dragged out of the building and beaten with whips, and some of them taken off into Siberia and never heard from again, and just because they said hallelujah and got caught. These were the people we went to visit in Russia. And it was difficult for us to even teach them that it's okay to clap your hands as you worship Jesus. And we got up, started singing songs, and we got some video of these moments that were precious moments. As I stood there, and we started, just a few of us standing on the stage in this place in Tatarstan in 1998, started trying to teach these people it's okay to praise the Lord. Because the pastor had called us and said, we love God, and we have 30,000 people and close to 200 leaders spread over 2,000 miles in Russia teaching people how to be saved, but we feel there's more to it than what we know. Would you come and help us to know more about what it takes to be saved? Well, in that case, I wasn't so in discord, neither were the other brethren who went with me. We went over there by invitation. And we sat there in this large auditorium, heard this man stand up on the platform and talking in Russian, but the interpreter, speaking to us so we could understand, said these words, thank you for coming, brethren and sisters that were with us. Thank you for coming and responding to our invitation. Now teach us what God would have us do. And he sat down for a week, turned the pulpit and the buildings over to us, and we expounded the Word of God to them more perfectly, in harmony, not denying that what they had received from God was real, not saying that their preacher wasn't called of God, not condemning them because they didn't know what they should know, but by invitation, being sent of God, by invitation of these people who wanted to be holy and acceptable to God, which was their reasonable service, God had somehow spoke to their hearts because they were praying people, diligent people, people of faith, thousands of them that had suffered persecution and had gone through years of torment, but still not afraid to get together in basements and small buildings and just quietly say, Jesus, we love you. They didn't have a Bible for years, except they had the pages and cut pages. One holy Bible for years. 30,000 people reading out of one Bible. Passing them around like baseball cards. Little pieces of the Bible. So that everybody sooner or later, underground church, get, you know, trade me that verse for this verse. And they were constantly trading verses so everybody could read the Word of God. Can you imagine 30,000 people trying to read out of one book? They cut the Bible into small fragments and made sure everybody had a small part of it. And then they just traded every time they'd come across their neighbor or friend that could trade so they could get more. But I'm going to tell you something. If you can concentrate on the Word of God so strong, you just got a few verses, and you read those over and over and over, you're going to learn something about that Word of God in those verses for sure. Then you get a little bit more to go with it. I can never tell you and never express to you the feeling that I had. I'm looking at the clock. I know I've got to stop. The feeling that I had when we handed out 5,300 Russian Bibles to those people. We went to Moscow, and the day we arrived there, the ruble, the Russian ruble, dropped to an all-time low. And the American, our dollars here, were worth more than twice as much as they had been the day before. And what we thought was only going to be maybe a couple of thousand Bibles, we were able to buy 5,300 Bibles. And while we flew on to Tatarstan, which is about 550 miles north of Moscow, we had the Bibles sent by train. And they arrived about 3 days after we were there teaching this wonderful Word of God to these dear people. Praise God. And when we passed out those Bibles, some of you have seen the video. When we passed out those Bibles, those people hugged those Bibles. The Word of God was precious to them. They had never heard of repentance and baptism in Jesus' name. Only some of them had read it, but they didn't fully understand it. The pastor didn't even understand it. But I'm telling you, a sincere heart that wants to serve God will find God. I don't care where you live in the world. But when you find Him, you're going to find Him in the same truth that's required of everybody. Hallelujah. And if you don't get it all now, just keep trying because it's still available. And you're finally going to get there. Just don't become a spokesman on behalf of some evil thing or some report that's partial true or something that says this is all you got to do or you don't have to do that or you shouldn't do that. Don't let anybody tell you. No, listen. You just go ahead and be teachable and reachable so you can say, show me what I need to do next. Thank you, Jesus. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And that man got up there and he told us just to take our liberty and teach them. Because the reputation he had heard. I mean, this man who had been responsible to lead these people for years, he didn't want to take a chance and just get some of these Westerners to come over there and mess up what was going on. He really wanted to know, is there more than what we know? And God took that sincerity. Today there are thousands of people in Tatarstan and in Moscow and St. Petersburg baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, seeing miracles and healing, and not falling off the wagon every few weeks, consistently walking with God. In holiness, enduring hardness, enduring cruelty, enduring their churches being burned down. Because it's like in New York when the mafia comes by to sell insurance to business people. The insurance means if you don't give us so much money, we're going to burn your place. That's happening in Russia, only to the Jesus name churches. Wonder why they're not burning the others down. Thank you, Jesus. That interpreter. I tell you what. He couldn't speak English all that well, but he was the best interpreter they had for us. And sometimes I'd be up there, you know, saying words, you know, and I talked about the tower where God confounded every language, you know, all their language, or confounded their language and divided them up, and they one guy said, hand me a brick, but the fellow heard him, heard blah, 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 and he didn't know what he said, and he answered back, blah, 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 what'd you say? And the other guy heard, blah, 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 you know, well, that interpreter's trying to interpret what I was saying. And I go, oh, blah, 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 he, you know, and he probably went, oh, blah, 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 and everybody laughed, of course, all these Russians laughing, you know. Oh, and listen, I saw some miracles. I saw a withered hand. As we were preaching the truth, a withered hand. that had been withered for years. I saw that lady with a withered hand who could not speak a word of English point to her hand. And as we were just saying, in Jesus' name, that hand straightened up, changed colors into regular color. It was a different color before it straightened up. It became unwithered. And she started waving and saying, da, 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 and dancing. Because God confirms His word with signs and miracles. These signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And you can interpret that any way you want to. But when I spoke in new tongues, it was the moment I received the Holy Ghost. And I know when I was born again. I know the moment that I passed from death to the light. I can take you to the place. I can show you the spot. I know when I became a child of God. I didn't know when my natural mother brought me in, but I know when God did. Hallelujah. Praise Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. And those people know too. They know exactly when it happened. And that interpreter that was having such a hard time interpreting. I saw him here in the United States a few years ago. He came up to me. He said, "You know what? I talked myself into getting baptized in Jesus' name." He said, "While I was interpreting you guys," he said, "I couldn't deny it." And he said, "Guess what happened to me? I came out of the water speaking in tongues. I came out of the water speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave me the utterance." And he said, "Now guess what's happening?" He said, "I just got through baptizing 60 Russians in the name of Jesus." And he said, "They got the Holy Ghost just like I did. Just like I did." Mark Stumbo is a friend of mine. I think Sister Lynn might have met Mark a few years ago. He's a missionary in Russia now. And he and his family stay over there. Amidst all this cruelty of people barging into your churches and trying to take your offerings and threatening to burn the place down if you don't give it to them. He's over there in the midst of all that. Every time you hear from him, I've known Mark since he was real young, but every time we hear from him, it's always a good report. Another one received the Holy Ghost. Another one was baptized in the name of Jesus. We had a picture around here circulating for a while where they were baptizing people in Russia in the name of Jesus, in ice over 3 feet thick. They cut a big hole in the ice, stood the convert down in the water, surrounded by ice, pushed them under in the name of Jesus. Now, I don't know if they received the Holy Ghost in that spot at that time, but I guarantee you they had stammering lips. But that's really wanting to do it right. If you want to go that far, to that extreme, to get in the ice in Russia, to get in the water, in the ice, and have somebody put you under in the name of Jesus. There must be somebody that got mighty convinced that this has to be the thing for me to do. Thank you, Jesus. Or you can listen to a private interpretation. It's inconvenient to put them in water, so we just sprinkle. We just sprinkle. And we get the Holy Ghost when we get our certificate. You know, I received the Holy Spirit when I was confirmed. The priest gave me the Holy Spirit. And I learned that you don't have to necessarily go to church. You don't have to do anything. Just so you know, if you do wrong, even if you die, they can pray you out. Make sure you got some loving ones, got a lot of money. They'll pay enough money. They can get you at least out of purgatory. You know, and somebody just depends on somebody else to know everything. Probably thinks purgatory is even in the Bible. Some halfway la-la land where God can't make up His mind where to send you. So if you got enough people that can get the church local child molester rich enough, because they don't have enough Holy Spirit to live for God, just give them enough money, they'll get you out. But they're not doing nothing. I'm sorry, my Catholic friends. Sorry, but you're wrong. And I love you. And I've got more Catholic friends in this town than I do people like you. And they love me. fact, a lot of my Catholic friends here gave me money to buy Bibles in Russia so I could go teach those people the truth, because word got out on these streets. The preacher's going to go to Russia to help people get some Bibles. And I walked over there to Eastern Bank. A Catholic lady walked up with some tears in her eyes, handed me some $20 bills, said, "Take this to Russia with you." She said, "Our priest announced it in Mass last week that you were going to Russia, and that some of the people wanted to help. So," she said, "I've collected this, and more will be coming." Some others came, and I'd meet them on the street. Catholic people wanting to get this word out, just because there is compassion in the hearts of people trying to serve God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This man came forward, gave me money to go to Russia. I went over to Newington, and they passed the offering plate, gave me several $100 to go to Russia. And this whole trip started, I had zero money. And the rent was due, and the utilities were due. We had nothing. And I needed $3,000 to go there and back. And I had it. And I even had enough left over by a camera on the way home. Thank you, Jesus. When God wants something done, He can get it done. But please, if I said anything that offends any one of you, please know that's not my intention. But I cannot speak that as being doctrine or something that should be taught that I don't believe and don't receive and consider to be discord if it's taught by anybody else in this congregation. And God hates it, and so do I. So don't do it no more if you did it. Just stand. And don't do it when you come here if you're planning to come here, somebody watching. You going to come here and straighten us out? Wait till you've been here 23 years and you hear what we've got to say and what we've learned in 23 years in this place and 20 years before I came here, hearing it all over the world from some of the best who had consecrated their lives to God. Not saying they were better than somebody else. I'm talking about best of the best as far as when it comes to giving themselves to God. Who were moved on by the Holy Ghost, not privately interpreting the Word of God, but preaching. Preaching. And I didn't depend on what they said, but when I got to being able to hear what they said, I'd already been converted. Thank God. Thank God I found in the Word of God what I needed. I questioned it when I was a kid, because everybody else was either a Baptist or a Methodist or something else, and I was the only Pentecostal in town. They'd line us up in school and say, "What are you? What are you?" And that's back in the days where they could read the Bible in school and pray in school and everything. So they'd go down the line and they'd say, "Baptist, Baptist, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Presbyterian." They'd get to me and I'd say, "Baptist." And they'd laugh at me. Yeah. Kids. Said, he ain't Baptist, he's a holy roller. He goes to that holy roller church. It embarrassed me. I didn't want to be called a holy roller. Then I really, you know, then I really started seeing it, because I wanted to see if my dad and mom knew anything. And I started studying the Word of God myself. I grew up, and I was a teenager when it finally dawned on me that the truth that I had been taught is actually in the Bible. I tried to even go to other churches and see if they had a better idea. But when I got converted, I was still young. I went to a Baptist church with my friend Ray Bardeman. Ray was the song leader there. And, you know, he smoked and cussed and did everything else that I thought you wasn't supposed to do when I was a kid. My dad told me if I ever got caught with them things in my mouth, that I'd wished I could be in hell rather than what I was going to go through. But I knew Ray Barton was a cigar-smoking, cussing, no-good-for-nothing friend of mine, because we saw things just alike on some things. But I learned a lot of my little things from him. So I went to visit his church where he was music director. And it came time to say the sinner's prayer and give your heart to Jesus, accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. And they had Ray to give the invitation. And I was sitting there with a bad spirit on me. Even though I had known that I had found some truth, but my spirit wasn't right. So Ray got up there with those eyes. "Won't you come? It's decision time. God wants you to come to Him." just as I am. Just as I am. And it made me sick in my stomach. I wanted to puke. I sat back watching that hypocrite. And I finally just couldn't take it anymore. I stood up and said, "You're a hypocrite!" You people aren't getting saved. That's not salvation. Next thing you knew, I had people picking me up. I was kicking. I couldn't get my feet to the ground. They were carrying me down the aisles. I was hollering, "Repent! Be baptized in Jesus' name!" And even today, at 63 years old, I can visit that church and they say, "That's him." Because Ray still goes there. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I had some lessons to learn. Thank God for His ability to teach us. Amen, brother.
Oh, praise the Lord. God's good. God's got it. Hallelujah. Would you love Him again? He's got it. Oh, hallelujah. Merciful Savior. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, for your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your word, not ours. Oh, and a light unto our path. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. His word is truth. His word is truth. And that truth can sanctify us, as Jesus said in John 17. I'm so glad that when I did come to Him just as I was, as the pastor was just speaking, that He didn't leave me like that. Showed up to church a mess. Amen. When the potter started meddling, turned out to be a vessel that He could use. That's what it's all about. Praise God. Because we are a mess when we come to God. But He's a specialist in messes. Amen. You're welcome to come. Whosoever will right now. I know maybe it's late. I don't know. But let's come and not give God that sound. He's looking for harmony and a willingness and a humility from our life. All of us. Every one of us. Hallelujah. Oh, let's call on His name together. Hallelujah. Let's call on His name together. Praise God. Oh, I've been there. I've had that crummy attitude with Acts 2:38 in my hand. Thank God for deliverance. Hallelujah, Jesus. From my attitude. So I can learn how to handle the truth proper. Oh, call on Him. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we love you today. We honor you. We thank you for the mercy and the grace. Tender kindness. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for loving us into this. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the lovely name of Jesus. God, we want to get it right. We want to get it right. Hallelujah. I don't want to gamble with my soul. It's too precious. Hallelujah. It's too precious. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I surrender.
Oh.
Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Beautiful word tonight. It's always beautiful.
Thank you, Jesus.
Brother Rutledge just talked many times about Brother Freeman.
Yes.
For 40 plus years preaching something that was less than the apostles' doctrine, which they got from Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Taught it less. In fact, every time he would come across Acts 2 and read that verse, he would skip over it, make something else out of it. But when you go online to YouTube, you get to see Brother Freeman in the church teaching, exhorting, as old as he was.
Yes.
Pastor Rutledge Sr. gave him that liberty, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, teaching the truth, loving God, talking about how wonderful it is that he yielded himself to the truth.
Yes.
Now, if a Baptist preacher can do that, any one of us can do it.
That's right.
And submit ourselves to God. Because it's right. Just open it. It's still there. It's right. Amen. Thank God for the word tonight. Let's one more time praise the Lord.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
praise
Jesus.
The Lord.
We love you, Jesus.
God, we love you. We love you. Thank you for loving us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you tonight. Amen. We'll see everyone next service.